I don't want to talk about wedding, but I want you to be for the sign and the fire. Saying in order to either be telling us, either be a well of little waters to flow. Or trust in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your will be done and you open us to more of you, because we are thirsty and we are hungry. I want to know your mind. I want to know your will, your purpose, even for the next generation, that we may hand over the baton to them while you call us to glory. When you call us to glory, that there will be revival in the earth and that men be turned unto you. We give you all the glory because you've opened our eyes to see the beautiful things that you are doing, and greater things to come you will show us. Thank you for this all of Tyrannus, where you have taught us to learn, to be impacted. We don't know what you are eating now, but we know that what you are eating, O Lord, is for the future, for the strength ahead. So we give you all the glory, Jesus. And I say, let the Father and our God be magnified. Let your name be magnified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I praise you, Lord. For in Jesus' name.
Amen. I pray. Amen.
Yeah.
In your name, God, I'm recording you.
My name is Rotimi Isaiah Adegureye. I'm serving in Adamawa State, Jimeta Yola, in a place called Masakari Kariwa, that is Jesus Embassy. That is Copa's family house there. It's a family house. I want to start by showing us this picture first. Lord, help me. I think I've sent it to Pastor before. Just like all of Tyrannus started here. When we were leaving, he said you should go and start something like this there. Over there. He said, I don't want to miss this kind of place. I don't want to miss fellowship. And he just said, you should go and start it over there. The picture will come to you. And the same thing also. In the family house over there. People are talking. And from the conversation, we gather together. They come to my room every night, 8:30, after 9 o'clock after devotion. 9 o'clock after devotion. We eat together. That was around that July, August, September. Some of them have passed that now. They were in Bachibis, they passed out. We eat together, we drink together, we read books together. That was my room then, both male and female. And he said, our life is in chain. Just like I entered into this other Tyrannus and went and reciprocated the influence spread to other places. Those people, all these people that you are seeing here, all of them are. Later, after a month or 2 months, they became executives in the house. Some of them became zonal coordinators of local governments, president of local governments in other part of Jimeta. From that place, that was just a little small place that God could stir up their fire. And then for a month or 2 months, staying together and fellowshipping together, they went into the zones. Some people that could not pray before for just 1 hour, they made the assistant prayer secretary. She do prayer chain from. She can pray from 11 o'clock to 4 or to 6 a.m. The lady just praying over. Just from a small gathering every 30 minutes. Or just pray from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. We just talk about something. Just a normal discussion. And just ending a point where we just pray. We just pray. So it has been a wonderful experience. And what I will say is that what we must do as Christians is to hear the word of God. There's a place of we coming, preaching and different kind of stuff. But the word of God for your personal life, I can say, is your safety, is your protection. The word of God. For any situation that we find ourselves, the word of God is our security. If you do not hear the word of God pertaining to our life, pertaining to what God says, if His word is not backing us up, if we have not heard Him, then we are not yet sealed. We can just be assuming. God will protect me. God will protect me. But if I have not heard the word of God pertaining to it, the word of God is our security. The reason why I say that is, I'm going to just use my own case as an example, but it's not the point that I want to drive into. When I heard Adamawa, going to Adamawa, I was worshipping God in Love Domain. I was just worshipping God that Monday morning, and in my mind I just said, Adamawa. I stopped that worship. People were continuing. I said, Lord, what happened, Adamawa? I said, Lord, do you mean Jigawa or Nasarawa? Because everything was still ending with Mawa. But I was already perceiving that. In one way or the other, God will tell you, except you are trying to ignore it. I used to go, when I was in campus, then I used to go out to go and pray. And come back around 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. Or when it's daylight. I just discovered that I was just worshipping God the one day. My tongue just changed to like all these Muslims that used to cry and rap, no, no, cool, see all these things. And I said, no, they told us to man, oh, but I'm not going to serve in the north. So I'm not, I don't have anything to do with the Arab world. That was the first inkling. Little by little, and it came. So that was the first time my mother was telling me that, you know, Rotimi, there are some times that you'll be hearing some voices. It cannot be, it may not be voice of God, it could be voice of Satan. So and so and so on. But I kept on to the word and I left. I went for her. So while I was in camp, I was trying to tell you today, while I was in camp, there are many things I wanted to drift me away from camp. Camp experience. You know, for some of you that will be going to camp, it can be so, that is when you know that some people lost many virtues in camp. I almost fell into the trap. I don't want to. Some people say, please tell me what this is. I almost fell into the trap. I knew that there was an inkling that God was, I wanted to go and join Capro or Men of Issachar. So when I got to camp, I was hearing about NTCF, so I didn't want to join because I would not become an executive, but because I was already having that inkling. So I was just so very social. But let me tell you, your home may not be like mine. It could be another thing, it could be activities, it could be pets, it could be all these kind of things in camp. But devil, because in Adamawa State, have you gone for service, man? Have you gone for service? In Adamawa State, evangelism secretary is the head of is the orientation, you know, spiritual secretary, orientation camp chairman. So being the chairman cover, being an executive in camp, where you welcome new corpus, both the two camps I went to, I had to take charge spiritually. When I'm taking charge, we had to pray, because the spiritual environment, especially the one we did in Yola, was so tense with kind of immorality and different kind of stuff. So I was wondering what happened in my own camp. I believe some people were praying that I did not miss it in camp. Some people were praying. So there are different kind of activities that are there, are different kind of things that we can actually, you can be coming to this place and be enjoying spiritual activities. But when you get there, it's nothing entirely. But you calm your mind down. But if you associate yourself very early with the people of God, it's going to help you. That's what happened. So I can count the amount of times I went to NCCF Fellowship. They gave me form to fill. I was dodging. And the day I submitted the form, I was interviewed and different kind of stuff. I'm just saying, because there's something particular about that stuff. And I was just stepping out of the chapel like this, going to my room, say, oh, well, like, I was still contemplating on that. And the Lord just taught me there and opened my eyes. I saw it like a big fish swallowing somebody. And what came to my mind was the story of Jonah. And God said, that is what you've been trying to do since camp. And as I said, as I surrendered and I submitted, immediately somebody like a white, it's not physical, but I could see it, well, gave me a scroll and a orb. And that was when I knew that I was already an executive. That's when I knew. So all through the time we went to campus and the time that I was in Adamawa State, now I can see that there's one thing that must keep you, no matter where you go in life, is the word of God. There were times that in Jimeta Market there, people carried bombs. Carried bombs. And God must direct you. And the pastor was just in the community. So I heard from a pastor friend now. But I go to Jimeta Market. Sorry, alarm. Up is alarm. There was a time in Jimeta Market, because me, I go to Jimeta Market, that is the market that we buy things and different kind of stuff. Me, I go to complex, they call it complex, the Jimeta Market. So Jimeta Market is where you buy things. So the time they carried bomb to the place, and the Lord told the man of God that there is a bomb here, and he prayed, they apprehended them. So there are times that we go out, you may not know that the next person will be inside you or different kind of stuff. Those are very what? They are very, very cunning. And this is not to scare you. No matter where you go to in that, even in those states here, the word of God, there's one thing you must always cherish. Cherish the presence of God and the word of God. It's your security. So I know that if God says that, you should live here now, you know that you don't want to mind all the things that you have around, and you leave. If I'm coming home, I told him that after the ending of service, I'm going to come home. But it was as a prompting from the Spirit to come. to come home and then go back. It's just because of you, but I know what the Lord has told me also, by coming home for 18 to 14 to 21 days, it's going to achieve. So going over there, there are many things you might have heard concerning the North. Holy Spirit, help me. Many things you might have heard concerning the North, the bombings, the different kind of stuff. Yes, everything has been reduced to a drastic level, to a, that you don't even hear about it again. But you, some of you are even hearing bombings, and you're even current concerning the news than us that are even there. Because we receive calls and different kind of stuff. But that is not to scare you. And then what God looks at is your heart, your passion and your zeal for Him. I think before I left, there's this song that song struck my heart from the conference that we did at, Lord help me, Holy Spirit, not Iju, the one that was, at the back of ICU camp, that they shared all these books for us.
Okay, mission conference.
That we watched Madame Gognon's.
Mission conference. This missionary.
This man that comes from.
What's the name again? The second minister. That's from where?
That does mission in the riverine areas also.
Yeah, that was mission. That school. That program. Yeah, that was mission conference. Mission conference.
Yeah, a few came from Cameroon and.
Yeah, mission conference.
Yes. So there was this particular song that they sang there that struck my heart. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to deity death. So that song sealed it in my heart that no matter where God is going to send me, and see, it's still your cause, it's still your cause, it's still your cause. And this song also, Lord help me, Holy Spirit, that sends. Life beyond the river, the cross. So, but on my going, I was thinking, I've already made up my mind so that no matter where God is going to send me, I was ready to face the persecution. It's already straight up in my mind. I was ready to face the, if there was going to be drought, if there was going to be famine, if there was going to be an harsh time. I've already settled it in my heart. And God, I think God saw that. So when I got to Adamawa, I was thinking I was going to see like a whole street, everything destroyed and broken down, nothing beautiful, black houses, everything burnt. But that's not what is there. The place is a very beautiful and a lovely place. And I'm saying that my prayer is that for me and for every one of us that we continually walk in the center of God's way. Because if I've actually been in Enugu, I had Abuja, ABCDE, Abuja, Benue, Cross River, Delta, Enugu. That's what I've already set in my mind. That if they're going to give me four choices, I will stop at D. If it's five, I will stop at E. But the main thing is, I'm saying the peripheral entering into. But still, my stay in the place, I've seen what God actually sends me there to do. Touch the life of many people. I was telling, today? That whenever, every Tuesday, my activities. It's always on evangelism. I'm going out. Tuesdays, I'm always in Jimeta prison. And no matter what, every day people give their life to Christ. I think one of the last time I went there, about 40 to 50 people came out, gave their life to Christ. And then we pray with many of them, and then, Lord help me, they get released from the prison. But they're coming to a church and fellowship and get to know Jesus Christ. Some of them, their life transformed, and then they're being released. Someone said, called me. He said, called me today. Yes, he still called me today. One of the emails that was released. They still call, when they leave there, some of them have my number. They may be there in Yula, but they say they still want to talk with. Because of the impact their life has actually what rubbed off on them. There are some, you might check on my pictures. I think I was showing you some the other time. School visitations. I kind of forget the school that went to do revival. FCS school. On GGSS, Yula. The hall is so large and so big. We ended for 3 days revival, and as we were, I ministered on the second and the first day, and the other musician followed after. But it's a very interesting thing to see ladies on hijab and speaking in tongues. You know, there were a lot of men. There are Muslim majority there in the school. Some of them just came to the fellowship. You know, demons. All of them. The female school were set free. And by the reason of the musician, some people got what. they gave the surrender life to Christ Jesus, and right there on the spot, that they were speaking in tongues. That's when I came to understand what that God's power is real. You might have been preaching it, I might have been hearing it, I might have been walking in a little dimension in school, pray for somebody, broken bones, got healed. But I saw it in a new light. I can tell you that. Okay, I saw Jesus in Adamawa State. I can boldly say that. And that is what I'm saying. Seeing the invincible, they say that what Moses, what forsook, what the pleasures of Egypt, and the wrath of the king, enduring as though he has seen what the invincible. That has happened to me. And the Holy Spirit is more real than ever before. I'm not saying, if the Lord is just, Lord, help me, how can I relate to this? But it's just God. For one to enter into the miraculous, for one to assess that which God has given unto him, he needs to hear the voice of God. One thing I'm still emphasizing, I don't know, there are many things to touch. I don't want to take the time. I want Daddy to come up. I call him Daddy. To come up and just... But there's two things that you must not forget. The word of God. And what? His presence. His presence. That is what the secret is. That is one of the secrets of even entering what? Even into the spirit, into the supernatural. Into the what? Into this realm of the Holy Ghost. The Lord was talking to John. When John was writing, I saw something... Writing, the Lord give authority, he explained some things to me. The Lord, when John was entering into the realm of the Spirit, he said that what they hear the voice of the Lord. And that was when he entered into the realm of the Spirit and began to see what was happening in the throne room, the four beasts, and different kind of stuff. The voice of God is very... I mean, it may just look as small, like a hear voice, but that is the beginning. If you can treasure that, if you can seek after that, if you can seek after God and hearing his voice, because what I'm going to hear in his voice is his word. Before you know, when you hear the voice of God, you start what getting to see the lightness, the revelations of God. I don't know if it's making sense. If we can hear the word of God, if we can hear his voice, because in the scripture his voice is like what sound of many thunders, and their lightness and what and lightness and thunders from the throne. The voice of God is very and his presence. I don't know how to explain, because it's something experiential. It's not something you can both. But I'm saying that I know that from teaching, some things can be baptized into somebody. Something can be baptized into somebody. So that's all the things I would just want to point, because most of the things I've already said there when I was talking that time. So you should not be afraid. And the Lord, even people of Islam, don't be afraid of them. The Lord was talking to me today concerning them. So don't be afraid of the house of Islam. So no matter where God will be posting you to, even though they are carrying sword, even though you have heard the rumors, most of those things were rumors. When we were in Kano camp, they threw a bomb at Magdagali, close to Borno, and the rumor that was spreading was that they threw it in Jimeta. So most of the camp people wanted to redeploy. And as I heard that, I went to my knees in the and I prayed until I saw a bull and his horns broken. All those things are rumors. That bull just stands for what? Rumor and propaganda. And let me tell you, from Kano, our Kano, they carried our camps that was supposed to be in Yola, Taraba, or environs. They carried it from northeast. They carried it to up north. So you, coming from Lagos to Kano, it has already discouraged you. You want to redeploy. But through that, praying, and whether it's another thing also, a special fervent prayer of a righteous man, I've learned too much. Through the power of prayer, the Lord gave us victory. That many people, close to 400 or close to 1,000, left from Kano. 400 people at first, then later some people came back to come and join us in Adamawa. From Kano to Adamawa, that was like almost a two-day journey. So no matter when you camp, it's a contention between what light and darkness. And if you can get it right from there, Lord, it's not the activities that you need to do. But if you can get it right from that place, it can set you on course. So there are many. I was trying to tell Pastor today that even if you can get it right from the onset, what God will have you do. They are very tempting. My mother was telling me today that if you are taking that bank job, they'll be paying you like 38 or 50 or 40,000, and then you know at least you can start settling down over there. The NYC brought. I was already serving in NCC, but they still brought me to. They wanted to change my PPA to a bank of agriculture for me to go and work. And they told me, the man told me that they are going to retain people. It was so tempting. But if you know what God will have you do, it's an assurance to me that I was not one budget planning for it. I was not lobbying for it, but it came to me and my president, to me and my president. The assurance that what if God brought me here, is going to what is going to take care of me. So I can say that I will still be returning back to the place. I'll still be returning because there is more work to be done there. I can't be telling you everything because it didn't take. There is more work to be done there. There was a rural road we went to Guyuk. The place is called Kuroyin. There are four villages in that district, and the high priest that lives in a mountain that what make in Yoruba they call it Afobaje. You know how deep they are in the Kotik something, and how this one. He came and said he wants to surrender to Jesus Christ. He renounced the gods and everything. The Lord is doing wonders in that land. What the Lord is doing, what He's sending, whether you are in Benue, whether you are, the Lord just painted a picture to me also when I was in the city room. After coming here, He set us on fire like foxes. You know, when Samson set the foxes on fire, He sent to me. He sent to me to Lagos. Sent Daniel to Benue. He sent me what to Yola. I don't know what this what he said this month. Maybe a ninja, something like that. Please, so you need to. I'm just talking like friend. Their body. You know, when I was coming, there was this excitement in my heart, and there's this body. But as I put everything out, there's looking as if. But I know that the Holy Spirit is His face, says something to you, So just hear God, and know. Maybe you can start. You can learn it. You can learn to hear God, because if you do not hear Him well, you can be swept off by what? By things. And the Lord said unto Elijah, even in time of, I don't know. People are saying recession. Even in time of what? Even in time of Elijah, the Lord said unto him, He said unto what? Go unto a woman of Zarephath. When I was trying to tell you, Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, how did you get to know? How did you get, Holy Lord breathed on me? He said, how did you get to know that this is a particular woman outside of you? At that town. Why can't he just go inside? Then the Lord was not trying to tell me what concerning what the ministry of prophets. That when they see at times there is a spirit of knowing that is at work in them, that they just know that this is a woman. How is that a prophet to come and tell you that this and this and this? And the scripture says that what the spirit of prophecy was the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that's why there must be an encounter with Jesus. What is actually killing Nigeria is what is not. We have many Christians, but is it that what there are few. A junior Christian, ask somebody, who are you? He's a Christian. But we check it, they are nominal Christian. That is what is killing us in this country. Nominal Christian, that what they just want to sit down, like a desk school, no kingdom purpose, no kingdom focus, and then they just want to what? Settle down. Settle down. And that's what happened to the North, to the Northern people. There are many people, the Fulanis, they are up to 1.something million. And they have not been what? There's only few of them, minority of them that have been evangelized onto. The canaries, just few of them. I'm trusting God that if God can just give me, I mean, some of the Fulanis. I'm still learning also small, but I'm still learning food today. Some of the Fulanis, so pray for the Fulanis in Adamawa, the Shua Arabs. The Shua Arabs. Most of them, those people have, and you have majority, we have many Christians in that place. You see fine houses and fine cars. And now you can see the tides have changed. The Muslims are now the ones riding fine cars, and the Christians are now the ones struggling. You see, for Christians, when you come for job interviews, you see all of them. They're like, oh, yeah, you hear Angela, you hear Mary, you hear different kind of stuff. And you don't get to see Aisha and what? You don't get to see Muhammad. Are you getting it? They get to this chain of what? Of connection that they have, that bonding is so strong. And there's the realm of, thank you, Holy Spirit. And there's the realm of the occultic also that they're operating, you know, that is in strengthening of their work. But Christians want to just go in there casually, what, without power. And that is it. They lack power in that place. I don't want to use the word they lack power, but nominal Christians lack what? There's a grace of God that covers them because of that. Maybe their love for Jesus Christ, but the power to go out and manifest. It's not conceived in their thinking to go out and touch the kind of stuff. When you come out and pray for people, to some Christians it's even strange. I was talking to, I think that you were there. When I was talking about I went to a school, we did baptism of the Holy Spirit for some students, and then the other Christians that they came around, they were surprised, and it was shocking to them. I think I thanked the Holy Spirit. I went to an hospital. I went to an hospital, and then FMC. And as I entered the place, I saw a small boy that was about to, a young boy was about to give up the ghost, who was breathing. I know that life was ebbing out of him. The parents and everything, they were wearing their, even I didn't know that their son is dying. I wanted to pray for their son, and they will see against it. There is a spirit that is at work in them. I just want to what go against their culture, even support Islam. So anything they think in wants to go against. So it's not say I'm the one that didn't teach their child. So I just stood and I prayed for the guy. All the being just stopped and calmed down. You see Afa and Imam, the one came with the Afa. So that is the wanted to start arguing with us. The Imam himself came and just, it's not a matter of argument. What you must show unto them was is the power of God. If they see it, they will know that there is a power greater than theirs. And thank you, Holy Spirit. And I think the last one I remember, one of the things I remembered was that there was a Muslim convert also. Our own issue was something for me. But it was an eye-opener. And when the first picture I sent to you of my baptismal rocket was when I met her. She got converted, the daughter of an imam. So because of her faith, her daddy passed, they wanted to stab. Her daddy and her brother and her mom, they dealt with her at home, and they were ready to kill her because an imam is a pastor in their own faith. So she ran from that place. She knew my number and one of that girl's number. She ran and came to meet us in Yola. And when she came to Yola, Lord help me. We were right there in Jesus appeared to her and said she's going to serve Jesus. She saw so many things, she revealed it unto us. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But because, thank you, the Lord, this constantly Islam inoculation. I don't know if you can relate to that, inoculation in Islam. But, you know, when they give birth to them, there are seven processes in Islam that makes them to be strong, who they are. They this thing that they make some Quranic verses, they wash it, they give them to drink. And then, Tira, yes. And then they go through some processes, that daily processes. One, your parent does that for you, so instill fear in you. Other things. So this one, she, to her age, the demons in her were, even though she was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but she was still misbehaving. She would be talking to you, she would just change her eyes. I faced challenge, you know, because I was the person that brought her into where we're staying. Other coppers were not convenient. Even fellow of my executive were not convenient having her around. Comfortable, yes. Having her around. Because of her behavior, of her different kind of stuff. She can be talking to you. She wants to be nice. She wants to be gentle. She's coming from, so there are some of you that we have in Islam, Muslim converts. Changing from Islam to Christianity is like changing from being an Arab to come and to be an American. Because American is already been Christianized. The England culture, their culture have already been Christianized. When the English brought what the gospel to Nigeria, they brought it with the Western culture. So changing from Islam, wearing all those things, and coming to Christianity is by coming into the Western culture. So there are little difficulties in it. So this is, I've entered into discipling a Muslim convert. So what we had to do for the help that God helped us with was conducting a prayer section for her. Mm-hmm. That was when I saw another manifestation of demons. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing another one praying for people that they will manifest. You just step there and cast them out. But this one was something else. Even after that night, you look as if it has capsized. I heard another prayer again in night time. There was another thing entirely. You look as if you jump through the window. And there are some people like that, you'll be praying for them, and then you just run in front of the trailer. The trailer will kill them. So you must be very, very sensitive, and you must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's it. You must hear God's word. If God say lay hand, you must lay hand. If God say don't touch, don't touch. So that is it. So in everything, I'm still saying that is following Jesus. So there's one song I learned recently, two songs, like I sing three songs, just to sum it up, and I want to still learn together. Because that's it. That's why we are living. If the Lord says leave here tomorrow and go to this place, if the Lord says just sum it up. This three songs. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. I will follow you, Jesus, day by day. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. Lead me to the Father. lead me to rest. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. Can we take it together? I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. It may look like a casual song, but if you have a deep understanding of it, you will know. The reason why we live is just to follow Him, to be with Him. It's that fellowship. He's the one to lead. The time the Lord was telling me, Holy Spirit, He said, He's my commanding officer. If the Lord says, go. David understand that. When he was going to war with the Philistines, the word of God. The Lord says, stand. The Lord says, sit. It's in Him we live, we move, and have our being. Without Him, we are nothing. Said, in Him all things consist. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. I'll follow you, Jesus, day by day. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. Lead me to the Father. Lead me to rest. It's just like a small talk, like an encouragement. But I may not be riding the best car. I may not be putting on the best clothes. I may not be serving in the biggest place that people want. You may not be married now. You may not be having a job. But something that is that gives rest and contentment is following Jesus. When you hear His voice, and His presence is with you, that is security. That even though if you are not having all those things, and the Lord said, now it's time to come home. It's time to come home. You are ready to go. I've heard about too many people that were faced with so many challenges. They lost their life. I know of one man. I've heard of one man that went to school to study medicine. He's a doctor. The only child of his father. And the Lord sent him to the north. When he was going there, his father chatted at him and said, no, I know, I know, I know, I know. He went there. And his father was an unbeliever. And he went there, he was doing mission at the youth of the Boko Haram. They came into his house and they shot him. He did not die until the next morning. But when he was being buried, that was when his father was. He was like a seed sown. It's like a seed sown. So, his life was poured out for others to drink. Before I came to, on Sunday, I went to a school.
When he was being buried, what happened?
When he was being buried, his father would give his life to Christ. And I know that many others too gave his life to Christ. His life was a seed sown. And there was a time that the Lord was talking to me on Sunday before I came. I came on Monday. I went to a school called Concordian. We're to minister there this coming Sunday. So the Lord told me to go ahead of the person that is going to minister. That is the person that took after me. And the Lord told me before I left the room, He said that what? Give me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. That was when Elijah was talking to the Zarephath woman. So the Lord sent me there. I saw people in the chapel at first say, They received the touch of God. So that you can drink. So that you can drink. The Lord will put in little waters in you. Even from this place. It may not be much. You may not be having one big revelation that heaven opened and different kind of stuff. But that little deposit that the Lord will be putting in you is a living water. Is a living water. That at the end, that what you might drink from it. Because that time there will be an increase. The water will not just remain like that in the vessel, but what it has the variability and the capacity to enlarge, to fill the whole vessel. That is the power of God. and the word is small. The woman that what that was, thank you, Holy Spirit. The woman that had the little jar of oil that was owing money. Then the sons of the and they went to meet the prophet. He said, go and gather vessels in your room, close the door, and pour out from that small vessel that you have. It may be a little water you have in your vessel. Say, pour and put in other water vessels. And what it has the capacity to reproduce itself. Even though there were 100, even though if there were 100 or 1,000 vessels there, from that small vessel, it will fill what the whole 1,000. And that is what God is saying. That what? Give me, put in a vessel, a little water that I may drink. Jesus, I pour my love on you. Oh, oh, Jesus, Jesus, I pour my love on you. Oh, oh, He first gave us to drink of His love, that He might drink of us. Jesus, I pour my love on you. Oh, oh, Jesus, Jesus, we pour our love on you. What persuaded the what? I was trying to ask the Lord, that Lord Jesus, when there was a time I was doing a study, I said, Lord, what happened to Paul that Paul could go to any length for you? The elders of faith, they could go to any length for you. It was also seeing the invincible. They saw him. When the Lord Jesus grants you the revelation of His personality, no matter what comes, nothing will be able to persuade you out of it. Stephen saw the same thing. Moses saw the same thing. Paul saw the same thing. John saw the same thing. All these early people, what kept them going was the revelation that they saw that was burning in their heart like fire that nothing can quench. That's what is going to keep us going. It may look casual. I don't know if I've said something, but that is what the Spirit, that passage of Spirit is saying. It may look casual, but it's the revelation of Christ that is going to keep you going. We're talking today that 15 years from now, things will have changed. Iniquity, ministry of iniquity will have spread. Different kind of things. There will be wars and rumors of war. There will be famine. There will be diseases. There will be genocide. There will be different kind of things. Promiscuity, iniquity. There will be more appearances of what? Of demons, and more appearances of the what? Of the ministries of angels. But what is going to keep you going is the revelation of the personality of Jesus. And that will come what? With His presence and with His voice. That is what is going to keep you going, no matter the tides. Jesus, I pour my love on you. So if he's saying that go to Afghanistan, if he's saying go to Benue, I have many people that they've arranged for Port Harcourt, Lagos, different kind of places, but they chose the will of God. Despite the rot of their parents, the fear of men, they went to the right place. Jesus, I pour my love on you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And this is the time that we need to operate in the prophetic. When I'm saying operate in the prophetic, I'm not saying that we should start jumping around like what we see around. But what we must first be the prophet of ourselves, hear God for ourselves. that you may be able to enter, no matter where you are, maybe in business, in politics, maybe in agriculture, in academic, you should be able to withstand and declare the will of God there, because that is what God wants. And that is how we are being what? Being light and being salt. Gidoi kan tokurkiska akaponte intor monte katisko futiaska fadito suva geruzien tenon te akateko kakikoski fonte ilo printe kufati akataka. Let us say fete a cruz kuto finitora ikotiro prenente koskuva. Gideon goes over there in the room and devolina. Open our eyes that we may behold. That we may behold. That we may behold. That we may be changed unto you, Father. What gave them confidence was that they saw him. They saw him. Coming to the throne, you meet the lion. That is why the word of God says, come boldly. There is a lion. It doesn't retreat. You come like a calf. A calf is humble. You come like what? Like a man. What is man that I am mindful of him, but he crowned with glory and honor. You must have what? The eyes of an eagle. Those are the four beasts before the what? Before the throne of God. Four beasts. The eyes of an eagle. You must see the visions of God. That's what God is dealing with. You must see the visions of God. You must be bold like a lion. And those things occur to you. It's the working of the Spirit in you. It occurs in you. Occurs in you when you fellowship with God. When you come before Him. The workings of the Spirit. So thank you, Lord Jesus. The spirit of prophecy. We need to know the mind of God for this time so that we can navigate through the technicality, because types and times are changing. It's not just about service. It's what God wants to achieve in me going for that service. It's what God wants to achieve in us going for the service. So the Lord brought many people here, and they are still here because the Lord sent them to this place. So wherever God will be sending you also, it's better for you to know the will of God. So that what you not run another man's race. So that you not walk in another man's vineyard. And so that you not struggle. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are God. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Eternally. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Changing everything in obedience to Christ. Changing everything. Changing everything in obedience. Restoring everything. Restoring everything in obedience. Relocating everything. Relocating everything. The Lord says this is the time that we need to see the heart of the fathers. The Lord says this is the time that we need to see the heart of the Father.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See your face, instead of shining in the light of your glory. We see
Thank you, Father, for the ministration of your angels. Thank you because they are here and they are positioned strategically. Let them position themselves strategically to minister unto us. Because there is one thing, I know what God said when I entered into this place. Said there's going to be a revelation of light. He told me light and revelation. I might have been coming in here for in time past, but today there's going to be an unfolding. It may look like a small word, but there's going to, for me personally, I don't know about your expectation, but there's going to be an unfolding of, I don't know what they have been teaching, but I believe God, there's going to be an unfolding. But the Lord said that this is the time that we need to see into it. I know this has changed. I'm just in the Lord says he's working in us. So he's working in us. We need to see the heart of the Father. And the Lord said there's going to be a revelation to me personally. So I don't know if there's an expectation, but that is it. It's interpreting this. Okay. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God.
Okay. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. How many of us got something from what Warutimi has said? How many of us got something? You know, sometimes you don't know you can see today, but the ability to see tomorrow defines your life further. It gives meaning and definition to your life. Ability to see tomorrow. And just imagine those of us that knew him when he was here before he went, and now I was trying to see the transformation beyond listening to him. I was trying to see the transformation that has happened between then and now. How many of us have a witness in your spirit that there were dramatic changes in him? Because our life is a progression. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a journey. Some of you now, you may not, you are a student or you just left school. You may look at, you don't know what God is preparing ahead for you. You don't know where God is taking you to. So the preparation of the heart, the Bible says, is what? It's man. That's Proverbs 16. You must equip yourself. God gives a fivefold ministry to equip the saints. He's equipping you for an assignment. Many got to the place of assignment and they were insufficient. Not because their God is not sufficient. They had an all-sufficient God, but they themselves were not sufficient. The Bible says when God wanted to use Moses, that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. What if at that point that God was ready to use him, Moses was not meek? You know, God was taking him through a teaching in meekness. Maybe he had not been broken down. Maybe he had been broken down 50%, and God was looking at 100. You know, for that level, 100 is at that level, because there will be other levels. But for that particular level, you're like a primary school now. You give you common entrance, you write an exam to go to secondary school. It's not as if you know everything in the world, but for that level, they rate you. They rate you over 100 for that level. They don't rate you based on general knowledge. So when you get to 100 level, you write an exam, they judge you 100%. For that level, in 100 level. They reach you by 100. So, when God wanted to reach him, maybe he had fallen so short, God would not be able to use him. God would have been incapacitated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, a lot of people here, Femi, I don't know if you know, Femi is serving in Kebbi State. Femi is in Kebbi State. This person was posted to Taraba. Daniel, he used to lead us in worship during our tongues. Yes, tall and slender like
yes,
this.
That,
yes, Daniel was posted to Taraba. The other posting we did for them, that was in January. Daniel was posted to Taraba, Femi was posted to Kebbi, Rutimi was posted to Jos. The other Rutimi was posted to Jos. Yes, he was posted to Jaws. And Rutimi is doing very well too. We are in touch. I hear his testimony and I'm challenged. That is the essence of this meeting. It's a grooming, it's a breeding ground. Where you are being incubated, you know. You are being incubated and imparted, you know, the life and the ways of the spirit. So that when we go forth from here, you can begin to spread spread the lies. What happened to this person that was posted to Taraba? Daniel. When they posted him to Taraba, somebody has gotten all the details. You know. It was his dad and one of his person. They got all his details and went, when he had gone to camp, he was in camp, and went and changed. And when I used their connection to change his posting, so he was so mad, you know. He called me, you know. When he called me that, look at what they said it to, but he told them they shouldn't, that he wants to stay here, this and that, but look at what they have done, that he doesn't want to leave, you know. When they were finishing the camp, he called me. I say he should go and. He said he was waiting for place of assignment. Now I think that's how they do it, Abi. When they call everybody, he didn't see his own. So he now suspected this might be what may have happened. So I say, when he called me, I say he should just relax. He should go and check first. So he should go and check online. I think they check online. No? He went and maybe. So he went and checked. When he should just relax. When he checked, he should call me. So after he went to check, he now called me that this is what they have done. I said, don't worry yourself. You are still a man under authority. God sees the heart. You didn't go and change it. You know, you shouldn't fight. You shouldn't do anything. You should just go. You shouldn't worry. You should just go. We are clean. I mean, God is the potter. You can the potter has the capacity to mold and remold and remold. Whatever God wants to do, God knows today and He knows beyond today. Just accept it like that and go. You know, it pained him, but he located him back to, is it Ogun State or somewhere. So he's there now. But Femi is still in Kebbi. And when Femi got to Kebbi, I think I told all this story before, that the governor, you know, governor used to come to camp. So the governor was coming to camp,
magician.
And announced he wanted to welcome him. So they brought some of these magicians to welcome the governor. And when they came, they were displaying with knife. You know, in fact, he called me right from the spot. You know, he's a young man that went to Akungba. You know, the JJJJ place. He went to Akungba here. He's been in the southwest. From here, he went to Enugu to do his law school. He did his law school in Enugu. He came back. They posted him to Kebbi. He said he saw people. They were choking themselves knife. He did not enter. Life.
Yeah.
I say you are welcome to the power. When you hear. You know, when you keep, you know, some of this, you hear it like a news. You see news.
Yeah.
When you hear news, see TV, there's no contact.
Yeah.
You are just hearing news. Some of these things, we carry Bible, we hear testimony, they look like news. I'll still bring those to me up, you know, to enter another aspect, to open up another aspect of the testimony. Well, I serve in the North, too. I serve in Zamfara State.
Oh, boy.
And I know the things I saw. You have to be cooked and baked for you to stand. This is not ice cream. Amen. I sat in Zamfara State. It was real raw power encounters. You know, power encounters. I was praying outside one day, it was a stone that hit my back. You know. I said, okay, Abby. So, praise the Lord. You know, so he called me that they were shooking themselves now if he didn't enter. He has not seen that kind of thing before. I said, well, that is why you are there and that's your calling. That's your calling. You know, God wants to call you to higher dimension of spirituality. Higher spiritual realities. Like, so he's there, he's serving there now, and he's giving me wonderful testimony. One time, the last part of the things we discussed, the last time we had the discussion, you see, he was going to go around their communities or something. He's going to be staying, I mean, the local government. He's going to be staying for some days. You will go there. The Lord give you instruction to be praying. You spend some certain days here, pray here, go to another place like that, you know. So he discussed that with me. Then wrote to me, discussed certain things with me, I was so happy. You know, he said he's even trying to bring some people together and invoke these 12 hours of prayer. Like that is putting some other things together. So you see what I'm saying, that these men are replicating something wherever they go. You could see the life, you could see the presence, you can see that connection to the spirit, you know, to the spirit realm. That genuine connection, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Like that. So gave me wonderful testimony, what he's doing on his own, you know, like that. I told him, keep. God is still preparing for somewhere else. Just keep doing it. And I told him one or two things. Then this person too. Ni. How many of us know Ni? Ni. Ni is this quiet time. When we come for meetings, he doesn't really talk, but you know, he's very slender like this. He's slender and tall. I think it's about but he's slender, he's tall like this. But Ni, it was coming around. You know Ronnie now, he comes here, we have fellowship together here. He was posted to Ogun State. He's serving in Ogun State. He told me his assignment, they gave him assignment, I think he's the prayer coordinator of NCCF. He's the prayer coordinator. And let me tell you about Ronnie. You know, during those times, these are like he was talking about hearing God, but he kept telling instruction, like he was hearing the things God was telling him, like that. So one time, I think it was here, the Lord gave him an instruction for 7 days. He fasted for 7 days and prayer. Just prayer and fast. Not this fasting you eat in the morning and break in the evening. 7 stretchy days. I think he was saying in this room that he slept there. So he stayed there for 7 days. He was, you know, praying, fasting, like that. You know, I think after some days, he took some maybe juice or something, but he didn't break the fast for 7 days praying. So all of those spiritual exercises he was doing was also a preparatory ground for a higher assignment. Can you see? From a higher assignment somewhere. So you don't just break the shade. You don't just jump you from primary one. So yeah, this is the one they took from primary one and took him to the primary one to, let me even say, maybe primary one to first semester in the university. Or from primary six, they just keep secondary school and take him. God does not work like that. God trains. A reason why a lot of people miss out in the place of destiny and in life is because the chain is broken somewhere. But not as if they are not still born again, not as if they will not still go to heaven. You know, God will manage, God will put people together. He's a potter, don't forget, he's a potter. We are the clay. He will still put you together as much as he can. You know, but you have missed something vital in your destiny. Praise the Lord. So that's why I want us to follow the process. Some instruction you are receiving now, something God is telling you now, follow the process. Praise the Lord. What did I say? Follow what?
It's your
process. Yes, it's no man that can take you to any process. It's the Holy Ghost that takes you to process.
Mm-hmm.
At a point, it might bring you to a certain feet of a man. It might bring a man to your life, or a woman, or a people to your, or a man, a woman, or a people to your life. But the Holy Ghost is the one lead you. It's a day that are led of the Spirit. He can lead you to a place. He can lead you to a people. Praise the Lord. And he can lead you further again. So it's a leading till he brings you to a place where this is what I want you to do. Look at people like Paul then. God let them keep leading. One time they say, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. What if he has not been led up to that point where they were praying, they were fasting, you know, in Acts 13. You know, that in that meeting there was a prophet that separated from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work for which I have called them. So all those while the work was hanging over their life, and God was preparing them for that work. If look at the way Paul is rugged, if he had not been equipped and prepared for that work, he would not be able to do it. The first day they stoned him, he ran away. The first time he had that encounter with stones. Or the first time, you know, he said 5 times he was beaten with rod. The first time they beat him with rod, the vision and everything will change. Praise the Lord. So God equip you, God equip inside. It must be like he will equip you, he will prepare you. He takes you to a place whereby in your conviction, you become like a steel, like a metal that cannot, you know, iron, you can't bend iron. There's this strong, thick iron, this, you can't bend it. The human hand cannot bend it. Human persecution, whatever is done, the human hand cannot, will not be able to bend that iron. That's what he told Jeremiah. He said, these people are stubborn, but I'll make you more stubborn than they are. Like what wrote him is telling us, you know, he's serving in presently he's still serving in Adama. To go to this kind of territory and do something for Jesus. God will make you more stubborn than the people. More stubborn. Because these people they are stubborn. Human beings generally they are stubborn. Even in all this I make all these gay people, they are so stubborn. They are so people are stubborn. You know, the mystery of iniquity is so stubborn. But there's another mystery. The mystery of godliness is much more what? It's much more higher in resolve. That is it. That is it. They want to shut you down. One of the things that Satan has and is so effective, one of the most effective and destructive weapon is fear. It looks so small. It looks so small. Fear. Fear shuts down a whole lot of things. Now he was talking about Dama. What could how many people could have had that word and what would shut them down? Fear. You know, fear. Adamawa, how can I go and serve in Adamawa in the heat of a Boko Haram? All these Boko Haram is synonymous to death or synonymous to all kinds of evil. Fear will just shut you down. Fear. And Satan knows it. He sees this thing called fear. And fear is not something you can pray in tongues and overcome it. What can root out fear inside of you is you being rooted in the world. In the word and the conviction, you know, the word faith. What we call faith, there is a connection between faith and words. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. That's one aspect of it. There's another aspect of faith. It's you, the confession of confessing what? Confessing the word, what the word says, you know, confessing what Jesus has done for us, confessing who we are in God, confessing what God, what the Holy Ghost is doing in us, you know. The reality, so that is tied to the word. You must affirm your faith. Let me use put it that word. That word. You must affirm your faith through words. You know, through words you affirm who you are. Is it Bishop Oyedepo? I say that he was saying something. I had a word from him, testimony from him that you don't overcome thought with thought. You overcome thought with words. You know, with words. It was. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? You know. Why are you disquieted within me? You see, I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That was the story of the psalmist. My soul. When he was saying that the prophet, he was talking about the prophet and say, and the fourth dimension of it, that you must be a prophet to yourself. You must hear the word of God. The psalmist was one man that consistently he spoke to himself. He kept speaking, and what was he doing? He was affirming the reality of who he is in God, you know, and what God has said about him. Praise the Lord. So we hear all kinds of stories. Femi told me a lot of things. He told me some things in that place, you know. I don't want to go into them now. But what I want to tell you that you must be equipped and prepared and be raised for life. Is it, I was telling you guys when we were talking before the meeting that the world has changed, but a lot of people have not realized it.
Yes.
So many people will wake up and it will be too late. The world has changed. It's not the world of those times, the world of those good old days that you go to school. After you go to school, you go and live the good life. Abby?
Yes.
The world has changed. We're giving an example of what is happening in ISIS or in the Arab world. People are living Europe, America, Germany, and all of them are going to meet ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. All this, they are going to be carrying bomb, Thai bomb. You know, somebody who leave a university, the Harvard University that is, some of us are dreaming to go. Somebody who leave the Harvard University and go and Thai bomb, and he wants to go and be a suicide bomber. It tells us that something is happening in this world. The spiritual demography of the world has changed. But some of us have still not realized it. We are still carrying that pet on the war in the war zone. Everybody is, you are in war. You know, so when you are in war, You wake up, you are in a war zone, and you are asleep, and you are telling yourself that you are not in a war zone. Everybody that is on earth and is alive today is in a war zone. You must fight to survive. What differs is the weapon of our warfare. Right?
Yes.
That's not what I told us that time. What is the difference? The weapon, but everybody must fight. You are in a war. If you don't fight, you will sink. You will sink. Life will swallow you up. Praise the Lord. Life will swallow you up. I say, what difference is the weapon of our warfare? Some of them are carrying what? IED, they call it. There are those bombs, the ties, suicide belt. Some are carrying suicide belt. Some are carrying this AK-47. But the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are what? They are mighty. Those things, look at it. Are they mighty inside of you? Do you, a lot of them don't even, we are not even bothered. It's just life as usual. You are just preparing yourself to be a casualty in life. And I didn't say you are going to be a casualty. People prepare themselves to be casualties. When we are being said, we are being equipped to be victors. So when you are not taking on the equipping courses, you know, the equipping journey to be a victor, automatically you are preparing yourself, you are equipping yourself to be a casualty. To be a casualty in life. Some people say some people were going to enter train. Some people go to the airport and they ask them to go back. When they say you must hear God now, we are living in the, at least it's like our journey in the world is like we are asked to swim in a river that is infested with crocodiles, and within that river they are safe zone. Haven't you heard about the word their safe zone? There are places you can swim through the river and nothing will happen to you, but there are places that as you swim in that same river, you are swimming directly into the mouth of the crocodile. Have you not heard about the word guide? Some people that will guide you through the forest.
Yes.
Some people go through the forest without a guide. They will perish in the wilderness. They cannot cross to the other side. But there is a guide. The guide will be able to, some people go in, the guide will guide them, direct them. He's able to guide them through the path because he knows the path. Jesus has walked this path of life before. That's why we call him the way. We call him who?
The way.
The way. So if you don't know the way, how can you now navigate the way, the path? The part of life. If we are not hearing him consistently, you know, some people have gone to the airport. This man, I read his account. He wrote it. This man, he was in an airport. He wanted to board the plane. Is it Duplessis now? Duplantis. There are two of them. One is Duplessis. One is Jesse Duplessis. Or is it Jesse Duplantis? Duplantis. Okay, Duplantis. Or in Duplessis, one of them gave a testimony. It was in the airport. He was in the airport and the plane wanted to take off. And the Holy Ghost was telling that this plane is going to
crash.
Yes. Eh? It's Jesse. Yes, Jesse. So this plane, because you think he said that, like, Jesse, he said this plane was going to explode or something. You're going to have problems. So when he was telling them, can you go to one of our American airports now? And people will know, all these people. A boarding plane. I tell them, hey, this plane is going to have issue. The first one said, take it for a psychiatric test. So when he was saying, they didn't answer him. They just left him. So, he was screaming. He right in the airport. Can you see how some people have built up their faith level? Not that you hear God in a corner and hide it in a corner. You understand? So when he was saying, they didn't hear him. So when the plane was on the runway, was about to take off, God even had mercy on them. The plane caught fire. The plane caught fire before they took off. Right there and there. It could have exploded. You know, sometimes when men are too stubborn, but God, there are people inside that God wants to show mercy. You know, you just allow the plane to go up and just explode.
Wow.
You know, that's the kind of mind. God does not have that kind of mind. Abi? Say they refuse to hear now.
Yeah.
It will go up and blow.
Yeah, I told you.
You know, let's see something. You know, but you say, I do not delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should repent and live. Amen. So God is not a man. So that was what happened in that one. That one is even an extreme case. There are some people that God will even tell them not to even travel. Then some God will arrange circumstances. But some of us, you know, will be so rebellious and so stubborn that we navigate. God will arrange circumstances to hold you back. You know? But we break we must. Like, yes, Balaam. When the thing was in an angel, the ass, and he was bent. He must go because of the reward of iniquity. Because of the reward of iniquity, he was determined to go. The Bible call it the reward of iniquity, Abi. Or how did he even call it in the book of Revelation? There's a way they call that his reward. You get it? So sometimes God arranges circumstances like that just to hold you back. So it's now left. You see, there are what we call the voice of God. Some of us are waiting until you hear one angel or one voice from heaven. But this month, don't go to Lagos today. No. You must be sensitive. Sometimes God arranges circumstances, and that circumstance is his voice. You just learn to yield. You just learn to take it. It depends on your sensitivity. You can look at it and say, God is here. God is in this. Maybe God is trying to call my attention to something. Look at Moses. It was a bush that was burning. And was drawing his attention. Until they now got his attention, God never began speaking. Now today, bush is born. Make it a born there. Now today. You understand? So sometimes God arranges. Sometimes God sends somebody into your life. I keep telling us that one. Sometimes it's a circumstance. Sometimes a group of people that God sends you like that. So we must be very, very sensitive and hyper sensitive to survive this time, even though you end up being a victim. Shey, he was telling us, Rotimi just shared us a testimony that somebody was in a market and the Holy Ghost told him that there's somebody carrying a bomb there, a pastor, in the notice. And he said it and he went to arrest the person. He searched around and they were able to make some arrest. So we must be sensitive. You see, God is real though. You see all these things he's sharing. There are places you can see God. Let me put it that way. If you don't step out, if you just lock up yourself in your room and you want to see healing, it's not until you meet the blind that they can see. If you don't meet those, you must meet the lame before you can see them walk. That's what I'm saying. But if you hide yourself in your room or go and hide yourself under your bed, and then you want to see the lame walk, it's not possible. Sometimes when you step out into the open, you will see a lot of demonstration and manifestation of God. It's real. God is moving in the nations of the earth. Jesus appearing to people is like pure water in this time and in these days. Even Hebrews 13 saying people were 13 angels without knowing. Jesus appearing to people is like pure water. The examples I know, particularly in the north, of course it happens, may happen in some of these other places too. But it's an abundant testimony in the north. All of those places that have like an iron curtain. Jesus, there was one I was serving in Zamfara. One man was praying. As he bent down to pray, Jesus appeared to him physically. And said, "What are you doing? That you should go and meet the coppers. They will tell him about they will tell him about the real God or something." He came to our coppers Lord, the same coppers Lord that they went to demolish in Zamfara recently. They went to the Zamfara state government went to demolish. So he came to the coppers lodge, gave other testimony. So they caught him born again, to turn disciple, and they took him out of Zamfara and sent him to Jos, so that they can sit down that to some people in Jos, so that he can learn. They have to take him first, they will kill him. They kill him. I met a woman myself too when my mother was sick in the teaching hospital in Kaduna. I'm at the Bello University teaching hospital. I met this woman. She was a Muslim. She's married to a Muslim husband. She has children. She told me two encounters she had that Jesus appeared to her in a dream. Jesus, and one of the times that Jesus appeared to her, Jesus told her that stop sinning. Cut a long story short, she gave her life to Christ. She gave her life to Christ. And because when her husband was getting inkling of it, out of the initial excitement, when the husband got into know, he started persecuting her. So she kept her faith secret. She didn't do it at home. So when she walked in the teaching hospital, there's a fellowship. So that's the fellowship she goes. And there are some pastors that work there too. They have a fellowship. So that's the fellowship she attends. And they now disciple her. And the tutor, she now told her all her children have been converted. But the husband does not know us at that time. But she told me that Jesus appeared to her in a day. She told me her experience. Then one day, she now told me an encounter she had in the hospital there. She said one day she was, you know, she got out, she loved the Lord. You can see she loved the Lord so much. She converted from Islam to Christianity. So one day she told me a person that she was praying for. Somebody came to the clinic. The woman was in wheelchair. She was having arthritis. It's arthritis, they call it. Those things that swell your legs. Mm. So you see, one day she wanted to pray for the woman and she put her hand on the woman's leg. And all of a sudden, electricity shook her hand. You know? Electricity is there. She put her hand on the woman, electricity shook her hand. You know? And the woman, then the woman was hit and got off from the chair. So it was not later, they now explain to her, the anointing. You know, you don't need to know the name before it's over. Once you have the heart. Once you have the heart, it will flow. One man was healed by Jesus. He doesn't even know the name of Jesus. They say, who healed? He doesn't even know. They say, later Jesus now found him in a temple, and Jesus explained, and now explained himself to him. Amen. God works with the heart. God moves some people into an experience before he even give them the explanation. But some people know the explanation, but they don't know the experience. They know about all of it. They can teach you about healing, everything. But they have never laid their hands on one person and the person got healed. Praise the Lord. So she said that electricity shocked her and the woman got healed like that. So that's how I met her. So she was coming to pray with my mother. We were having sweet fellowship with her then in the this thing. And you know that this person really knows the Lord and really loves the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there are so many encounters like that in the in places that goes through all this persecution. All this, what you know about Iraq now and Syria is war now, it's ISIS. I can assure you that those places are filled with the testimony of Jesus Christ. Even if I have not had anyone I know, because I know who God is. I know the nature and the character of God. Praise the Lord. I will know his antecedent or precedence, what he has done over the ages. Those are the kind of, you say, where the eagles, where the carcasses are, where the eagles are gathered. Mm-hmm. I know the ministry of angels is unleashed in those land, what you call Iraq, Syria, Bronu, Adamawa.
There was a time that we went to Kano camp, and I believe that this was one of the main reasons I went for Kano camp, because camp was supposed to be in Adamawa Yola, in Spire Polytechnic, and 3 days to that, they said the person that was supposed to sign the security vote, all of them have signed. The person that traveled with Buhari outside the country. And so they now shifted it from Kano, not to Taraba, not to Gombe, not to Benue. They shifted it to Kano camp from Yola. So when we got to Kano camp, to Karaye. So when we went to Karaye, there was a person, a young guy just came, his name was John. He said, he just came to meet me. He said, Rachel, there is prosecuted. He said, she come and miss. He said, because I should pray for him that he's having demons and they're disturbing him. He just came to meet me. He just walked into the fellowship. And he said he didn't want to discuss. And so I just told him to wait after the service and told him to sit down. And I believe that was only because I had an encounter close to that. We had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Reality. He just said, I told him to sit down. And I was discussing with him, trying to explain to him Kanaanji, like to explain in Hausa. My friend was interpreting, so I was able to hear little by little. He got to a point and he was just taking off.
He was just looking out.
I just sensed that. I tapped him, he did not talk. I just chatted him to talk. I did not touch him. I just tapped him and discovered that he was already taking off. I just started commanding the spirit, set off in Yadosh. Every spirit that is trying to hinder him, just started manifesting. Doesn't mean that some spirits are very stubborn. Inside of him, there was 10,000 demons. Mm-hmm. We are asking him now, 10,000 demons. Say, Pastor, leave me alone. He was demonstrating and different kind of stuff. Brothers, some prospective couples that just came, they were seeing the chapel, they were still praying and, you know, see talking and see, you know, some people were interceding for him. When they had 10,000 demons, I looked around, I did not see different people again. So at least we prayed for him. The main demon, they can be many, but it's what we spoke. And the guy just, after we told him to leave, the guy just took a step. So I saw demonstration. And the demon left him. And the guy just fell down on the ground. So we started praying for him. I said he could not stand up from the ground. I thought all the demons are gone. So we started saying, let's put him on the chair. As we are praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, it just got to a time. I just said, I sanctify this environment. I just had this feeling. I sanctify this environment by the blood of Jesus. The other one reacted. He said, it's not coming out. He said, that one that we chased out is his ogre and he's standing here. That he doesn't, he said, if he should go, that main one will kill him. His ogre has gone. He left the deputy in charge of other demons. So, he now said, if he should go out, that big one is going to kill him that is standing there. So, when we now pray to sanctify the environment, that one now left. The demons were talking expressly, and then after we now, that one had left, the other one slept with him. Then I was praying, and we were praying, the Holy Spirit now came upon him. That was the like in the way of the prophetic in the Old Testament. Came upon him. His eyes, he was talking to us expressly. Things that this person, he has not given his life to Christ, so we're asking him deep things from the scriptures. He said he decided to speak unto us like that. The Holy Spirit. Asking him deep things, the revelation between the Father was telling us, why is it that some people lack the power of God? He was telling us because they are not what? Guardian. Why is it that people don't see God? People don't see God. The Holy Spirit said us that what? He was talking to him. The guy didn't even know what's happening. He was just talking to us. Now, demons take people. The Holy Spirit took charge of him. He said, the reason is that people when they come into the presence of God, their heart is not clear. Their heart. They have things in their heart. Before we come to the presence of God, we must what? Settle everything in our heart. That's why me, if I go and pray, I try to settle. Even though everybody is shouting, in the name of Jesus, I pop up, sit down first to clear everything from my heart. And the reason why I stood up, sir, is because the Holy Spirit told us something that when we were discussing with John, he told us that we should lay our hands on him. And Lord help me, he said he's going to come into him. The demons are not going to come again. Because the next time they came, but they could not enter into him. That's the first thing. Second thing, the Lord told us that, told me and my friends, the four of us, said that we can manifest in all the. He said, okay, we'll talk, that was about the gifting, so that's all right, thank you. But the main thing is that, he told us that we should let John go home because he wants to go and attend to other children of God. And then there is somebody currently, we're in Kano, there's somebody currently in Bono who is praying right now and is seeing Jesus. So was telling us that. So after spending like 30 more minutes with him, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit now. So the next time we want to pray with him, we lay hands on him. And then when the demons came the next day, it was real. The thing revolutionized my prayer life. See, can we just sit down with you? You are praying, Jim. Holy Spirit, no, see, just like that sweet communion. I saw that in Benny Hinn's book. I knew that it was real. See, that as I'm talking to you, I know just saying, but the reason I say that there was people sitting down praying, and then the Lord said, he was telling us that what they are seeing Jesus. I have heard about people in the northeast, I have documentaries on my phone because I follow their posts on Mr. Capro. In the face of persecution, they are seeing this lady that told you that he was daughter of an imam. She saw Jesus, and then in the dream. I think twice in the dream she saw the Lord sent her back to her community. I think she's the savior of her community. She saw it in her community. She laid hands on a madman. They got healed, and her parents were surprised. So that is her own assignment. She has really known her own assignment with liberating her people. But that is the reason why we went to Kano. That is experience. So the Lord can just and I own that lendo that was that imam and many of them like that. There was one man too that came to meet me for clothes and different kind of stuff because they come from the prison. He's an elderly man. He was a conk Muslim before he had an encounter with God also. And then after we sent him back home to Kastina, when he got to Kastina, his brothers, they burnt all his clothes. They took his wife. They did not allow him to what? Even the clothes I gave him back home, they set it on fire. When they were about to kill him and persecute him, that's when I ran back again to Yola. And I gathered some bread and we gathered some money for him. Sent him to Mubi. Lord help me to Mubi. There's one mission school in Mubi. Mubi is close to Magdagali where there's an insurgency to Mubi for safety. And many of them like that. There's another person also, Ioana. I'm still on this issue. Lord help me. Yeah, we're still on this issue. They burnt his house recently. Because he's a Christian. So I had to look for clothes in their house, some baskets, some buckets, slippers. how to give him also. So people too are facing, well, as they are facing those persecution, God is appearing to them and actually strengthening. That I cannot forget all those experiences. And then one last thing. Okay, thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody, I will say one or two things now and then. I want us to pray. One day, I met somebody who was with me recently in my office. He's a pastor in Redeem. He was posted to Bornu, so we were just talking. He came to my office. That he was sharing his experience with me in the heat of 2012. He was there for 4 years in the heat of this Boko Haram crisis. That there was even one day they ran into them. They were killing somebody in their front, so they had to stop their car and run into the bush. You know, that he had even said his last prayer. After he came out, he still went to Bornu again. Why am I telling all that story? He said he just left then after 4 years. He was posted there for about 2012 years to like 2016. You see, people are still, even in the midst of this thing, that some people are running away from that place. People are still going there, and they are faithful. The story was talking about these things are real. It's a demon speaking. The seven sons of Sceva. How many of us remember that story? That the demon said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. If you now confront that kind of experience, you go, some of us will run away. Abi? Some of us will run away when demon is speaking. When we hear the voice of demon, you know, we will run away. But this is what we are called and trained to handle. Praise the Lord. You know, some people are trained to, this is their firefighters, to quench fire. Abi? Some are trained some people are trained to play ball, put the ball on their feet and kick it around. But our equipping, they say the saints are being equipped. We are equipped to handle spirits. We are trained to handle spirits. Jesus said, when an unclean spirit leaves, he go and brings seven more that are more wicked. Can you see the things we handle? He brings seven that are much more wicked than the other one to the same place. So you just take it. If a human being is a house, beyond that this person is brought Ben. It's not just Ben. A human being is an abode of spirits. Everybody you see. Is it that your lecture hall? Say if you are 150 in class, Abby. Eh? Okay, 50 in class, Abby. 50 in class. You see, although if you go and look at everybody's eyes, everybody is harboring spirits. You see all this one, you look to people, everybody you see is an abode of spirits, even including you. So the now question is that which spirit is now living inside? So when God made man the one to harbor spirits. Spirits will live inside of you, and then you in turn live in that spirit. You in turn will now live in that spirit that is living inside of you. That's why I say he's in me and I'm in Abi. Christ in me. He said I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. So you live in a spirit and that spirit lives inside of you and you now live inside of that spirit. So you merge and become one. The same way demons are inside people and some people are living inside they are in demons. Demon is in them and they are in demons. They have been raised up by Satan. And when you see somebody tell you that he's gay, you don't know the person that is living inside. You haven't heard of the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. So somebody, the natural use of the body that God made, somebody stand up today and be all kinds of saying, oh, somebody stand that is an atheist, he does not believe in God. You think he's a man that is talking. Spirit will give you an identity. What's with the door that I say we are an abode of spirits? They come and give you an identity. It's spirit that gives you your identity. It's spirit that gives you your personality. I want you to know it. Not that you are Bro Ben or I'm Bro Twin, my person. This is who I am. You know, you start category, say I'm sanguine, I'm this, I'm, you know. It's beyond that. Wherever it's spirit that gives you identity. They shape you, they mold you. They shape your belief system. They mold what you do. Everything is spirit. The Bible talks about the spirit that now walk in the sons of what? They call them the sons of disobedience. He said the spirit
that walks inside the sons of disobedience. That's why they say, if nobody does not even have the spirit of you are a Christian, you are Christ, because the spirit of Christ is inside of you, walking in you. He walks in us to will and to do. All right? You see, if anybody does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So what qualifies you to be a Christian is because a spirit, which is called the spirit of Christ, is in you, walking inside of you. That is your qualification to be a Christian. There's a spirit that is walking inside. Every blessed day, you are in touch and you are in contact with spirit, even if you don't realize it or not. So it's better for us to raise our consciousness to this thing. Then those that are not in Christ, there's also a spirit inside of them walking every day. Every day. Sometimes that's why we pray. It's just not just go and say, okay, you have siblings that are not born again. You have people around you. You know, we learn to speak to their spirit in the place of prayer. You call them forth. You call them forth. Sometimes when you remove the spirit list, they will just believe. They break the hold. The Bible says he has translated us from a kingdom of darkness. Anybody that is not a Christian, that is not born again, is in a kingdom. Do you have a kingdom without a king? There is a kingdom. They have subjects. A kingdom has rulers. They have powers, rulers, thrones, and authorities to hold this territory. Look at Nigeria now. Have soldiers, police to hold Nigerian what? Territory. That's a kingdom. So we have been translated from the is a kingdom of darkness, and the Bible says it does not let go his victim, except a higher power come to intervene and interject. He will not release his victim. He said, "Can a prey be taken from the mighty?" He said, "The captive, the lawful captive can." You see the word deliverance. No captive will just put your hand on and walk out of captivity, like the kidnappers. They take you. You just put your hand in your pocket and I just walk out of the kidnapper's den. He said that you pay the ransom, the ransom, or a higher force come and dislodge them and release you. And what is the ransom? The ransom is the blood. Amen. So he said that the ransom is paid and you walk out of the kidnapper's den, which is the blood of Jesus. You know, you come into the reality and the understanding of it and accept the effectual working of it in your life, and you are now delivered. Or God interject like the way he did to Paul. Praise the Lord. God just gives you an encounter. He just break the chains and like the encounter that Paul had or something. So he said that a higher force interject, this will cannot come out. And those of you that will be getting married tomorrow, and the same thing can happen. If you are not careful to keep your steadfastness in the spirit, to keep burning, it can invade your marriages. Invade your marriage, destroy your home. That's one place that Satan loves to eat. That's one of the meals he likes very well. Amen. One of the meals that Satan likes very well. That's why there's so much commotion in marriages. One of the meals that Satan likes very well is a taste for him. It's a delicacy to him. You see, this marriage, because it's a divine institution, and marriage is core in God's program. So you and I may not understand it like that because we choose not to understand it, but Satan understands it. And he doesn't joke with it. Praise the Lord. He will invade homes. You remember the one we talk about access? Yeah, Satan. We talk about access. Rotin, you get that message before you go. The flow of power. That access. God will give Satan access into your marriage. Amen. Who did that say give access? That's how we have been. How can you be an overcomer with an enemy that you did not see eyeball to eyeball? How can you be an overcomer with an you have not confronted an enemy? Can you be an overcomer? You are an overcomer because you overcame something, because you were confronted with a challenge. Praise the Lord. He said that if you overcome, you sit with me on my throne. You must confront Satan everywhere. He will unleash his power in your life, in your home, everywhere. And that's why we're being equipped. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his what? In the power of his might. Because you need that might to confront the evil enemy. In your marriage, you come. God will open the door for him to come. You open the door for him to come into Jesus' life and tempt him. You open the door for him to come and assess Adam, right? So you are not immune. You all everybody that works with God, you know, the tempter. That's why when he says, teach us to pray, He said, deliver us from from evil and the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Keep us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praise the Lord. So that is the reality of it. I want us to pray. I want us to pray with what you have heard. Now, number one, I want you to get out of it, that God is equipping now what? God is doing what? God is equipping. God is preparing us. Right?
Yes.
He's equipping us and he's preparing us for a call for an assignment. And we must, when the time and the season of that assignment come, who will betide us if we are not ready? Because that time God will just be looking at you. Yes, ma'am. Because this moment of training, if just like after the trainer will follow the person to the warfare and still be training the person in the warfare. I have not seen that kind of war before. Praise the Lord. Oh, the father followed Jesus when Satan came to meet him. And was still teaching him. Jesus, this is that. Okay, Satan is coming now. When he's going to release, when he released this word, jump down now. This is how you answer him. He was looking at him. Either you pass, either you ascend or you sit down. These are the two options that you have. Adam, was God not there? Eh? Was his spirit, was his presence not standing beside them? But God was looking at them. When the Eve was stretching forth his hand, could an angel, not even God, could an angel not go and block the hand? Eh? If you see your baby putting the hand inside the fire, you'll be looking at your child. Since you block, you quickly even run and carry. Why didn't they come and just carry? Hey! They were just looking at him. The whole entire heavenly host, because that there are how many great, there are three deep. Okay, there are three of the deepest time, you know, time has not started then, but when God began dealing with man, one of them, three or four, maybe when man was created, right? That's number one. Let me use the word four of the strongest time and season on earth. One, when man was created. Praise the Lord. Because immediately man was created, the Bible says God rested. Man is God's, in man, God entered into his rest. I can't explain that. Maybe sometimes I'll teach us about God's rest. About God's rest. So it's, there was sin before man was born, right? There was sin before man was created. But it's in man that God puts an end to sin. It was in man that God puts an end to sin. That which even existed before man came into the sin. Right? Sin began from the angelic cadre to third of the angelic Satan. But it was in man that God eternally put an end to sin. So that's why when man was created on the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. Those things are prophetic signs, you know, who could explain the story of creation. They are prophetic parallels. It was in man that God entered into rest. So it was in man that God puts an end to transgression. If you look at Daniel chapter 9, you know, when it talks about how many days were determined. Let me know, I will teach us about that one. Some that I will talk about God's rest. See, to put an end to transgression in Daniel 9, he talks about something, about putting an end to transgression in man. It was in man that God ended the sin problem. But clear it off from even the Bible says Jesus went and cleansed the heavens, right? After he finished his assignment, he took his blood and cleansed the heavens. So it was in man that God put an end to sin, both in men and even in the angelic, the skirmishes of sin, even in the angelic cadre. So answer is not good to go into some small explanations. So now you just kind of tend to derail you from the main thing that you are saying. Praise the Lord. I'm not struggling to come back. Holy Spirit. Eh? Where was I before I went to? It's in my spirit. It will still come out. I was saying something now before I went to Iman. Before that time, I said something. I was on it, a particular line of thought before I entered. I was saying the four of the great moments in eternity. When man was born. Another one was Genesis 3:6. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. That is where man fell. You don't know that the father was in the garden. The father, you think, oh, God was on the throne and was busy doing something else. That was the moment that would bring the Son of God to come and die on the cross. That time that they were tempting this thing, I'm very sure that the Father, the Son, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, everybody, like a theater, the earth was like a theater. You see the stadium? When people focus, all the heavens, angel, Michael, the cherubim, this, everybody, that was an intense moment, you know? And that's a temptation because the outcome has not yet been known, right? Yeah, right? At least for the host of heaven, even God might know. Everybody was washing with blessing. Hope you are not sleeping. Imagine, then they say, that Genesis, he said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, he said, she stretched forth her hand and took it, and she ate it. Oh, that was that moment. That was the moment that brought Gethsemane. That was the moment that brought Gethsemane, and that brought Jesus, all of the suffering, the pain, that was that moment. So you think that is from that moment, you can jump from that moment and jump to the cross. Amen. When that happened, the coming to Jesus on earth was eternally sealed and eternally bound to come. Praise the Lord. That's the second moment I described. The third moment was, okay, when Jesus was born, right? Right? Jesus was born. I say when man was born and when man fell, right? This is when Jesus was born. It was a spectacle. The Bible says all the angels came to even announce the birth. Then, when Jesus died on the cross, when God died, when life what? Died for transgression. Another one is when Jesus is going to come, making the number 5. Right? When Jesus is coming. Right, that's the next event we are waiting for. The coming of the Son. His birth. The entire earth waited for his birth. You know, eternity waited for his resurrection and ascension. His death, resurrection, and ascension, eternity waited. Then, even the earth now, eagerly, and even the heavens are going to send him back, waiting for his coming back. These are critical moments in life. Praise the Lord. But what I was saying, what led me to this point, that when Adam, when they were being tempted, did God interfere? He already trained and he already equipped them. So the same thing will happen to you. All of this training you are hearing, nobody, when you get married, who will come and sit down in your house every day? Ben will soon get married. When you get married and you wake up, okay, Ben, this is how you are going to relate with your wife today. These are the things you need to tell her this morning. No. All of these things you are hearing now, all of the counseling you did, I'm sure you have done some counseling in your wife's church and everything. So, all of those things were to prepare you for the marriage. After that one, they release you like a bull into the marriage institution. So, whatever it is, good or bad, who will drink it? You will drink it and go and account to God. So, that is it. So, at that moment of temptation, nobody told Adam anything. God was washing. I said all of them were washing. But nobody spoke. All of them washed in silence. Everybody washed in silence. You know? With the heart palpitating. I'm telling you, that moment that they ate that something, that is what I define. That was a defining. That was what gave birth to where we are today. Now let me ask: if Adam and Eve had overcome that temptation and are not eating it, the story of eternity would have been different. What do you know? Everything, the handwriting will be different, and the things written will be different. So that was that moment they watched. And the same thing happened. They didn't tell her what happened when Jesus was tempted. Right? That was the season that determined whether God sits on the throne or whether God will climb down and leave his throne. Hope you are aware. That temptation of Jesus Christ. You think Jesus was tempted? That moment, that singular moment determined whether God sits on the throne as God or whether God will leave the throne. That contention they started having in the eternal ages. That Satan was contending with God. That was that moment that thing could have materialized and could have been sealed. What if, amen, it's not even a thought that should go there. Jesus couldn't have feel that temptation. Amen. But that time, you know, there have been dangerous times in time and eternity, but that was the most awesome. It's even more awesome than his birth. His birth, God unilaterally brought him forth, right? Right? God unilaterally brought him forth. This one now, he stood as a man.
And then Satan now came and tempted him. Praise the Lord. Satan came and tempted. Amen. So the all this redemption, you see, God's eternal program, everything will just crash. How important that moment was to God, to eternity, to us, to every, even to the demonic world. And it was that moment that Satan was total. He said, for judgment I came into this world, so that the prince of this world will be judged. Abi, even the judgment of Satan was eternally sealed when Jesus overcame it. Amen. There are some things we understand to a measure, but we don't have the capacity to understand it here. When we enter into eternity, God will spend eternity to open this dimension to us. Amen. So some of these truths that we are just toying with, you know, we are playing with toys. You know, like children playing with toys. We are still playing with toys here. Abi, when we go step into eternity, the same thing we are hearing that we know now, when they now open to us the full scale and the full weight of it, we'll take eternity to understand it. What happened on the cross? What happened in the garden? Are you hearing me? What happened on the cross? And what happened in the garden? When we now step into eternity, it will take eternity to unveil. We'll still be comprehending what happened. We'll be seeing glory to God. Just those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. That we are seeing and understanding what in shadows. That's how great and the mystery of God is. And that's what you have the privilege and have the privilege to be part of it. Praise the Lord. Can you begin to appreciate your Father? Can you begin to bless Him? Just thank Him. Appreciate Him.